Hey friends, welcome back to Work Less, Earn More. In today's episode, we're going to be talking all about how to create content and grow your audience as much as possible in as little time as possible. So back in episode 176, I shared an interview I did with Lisa Bass, who's a homesteading mama of eight and the brains behind the enormously successful blog Farmhouse on Boone. In that episode, Lisa and I shared a candid conversation about how we run our businesses while still making plenty of time for our families. We also covered our thoughts on achieving work-life balance, what that means exactly, and how to make it possible. Well, today I brought Lisa back on the show, and this time I'm interviewing her. Ever since we had our first conversation, I've been following her brand and consuming her content. And well, I am just so impressed by how much content she manages to create. And I'm really curious. I've got a lot of questions for her about exactly how she does it. So today, I want to talk to Lisa about her content production process and how she manages to generate so much content, as well as the strategies that she's used to effectively grow her brand in minimal time. We became entrepreneurs because, more than anything, we want freedom. We want to be in control of our own schedule, income, and life. But unfortunately, that isn't always the reality of being a business owner. I'm Gillian Perkins, and I'm on a mission to take back entrepreneurship for what it's supposed to be. In every episode, I'll share with you how to get the most out of every hour you work so that you can work less and earn more. Let's get to it. So Lisa, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be on. I've been following you for a long time, so this is fun.
Yeah, well, I've got a ton of questions for you. So let's start with like the really big picture. When it comes to growing your brand, which you've done so successfully over these past few years, what would you say are the top three strategies that have really grown your brand the very most?
I would say, I mean, I know everybody says consistency, but truly, I have been making consistent content for 8 years now. There hasn't really been any weeks at all that I've taken off. And I know that can be very difficult because I've had a lot of kids in that time. Life happens all the time. And still, throughout all of that, I've managed to get out some piece of content. Also, I guess just staying consistent with what my messaging is. So I've been sharing the same things pretty much as I'm learning them since early 2016. And what would be the third thing? I guess just improving my skills. So the way that I shared, say, for example, over on YouTube or even my blog years ago is a lot different than it is now. I mean, I've always just kept creating content, but I feel like I've learned more and more like what does well, what keeps people's attention, and grown with those skills just as I'm doing that. So I didn't wait until I had those skills to create the content, but I have been learning throughout all that time.
Mm-hmm. Which really is a product of the consistency, I think. I think a lot of the time people think that the reason consistency is important is because like the algorithm or satisfying the viewer. And those things are important. But what I found is that consistency really helps me more than anything else. Like that's what helps me to get better is because I'm practicing so regularly.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So when it comes to specific strategies or like platforms that have helped you to grow your brand, what platforms have you focused on? What platforms have been the most helpful or like specific strategies on those platforms? What are like the top few?
My favorite platforms are for sure YouTube and my blog, which is a WordPress self-hosted website. They have been the most lucrative as far as the ad revenue and sponsors and courses and all of that. And then I do use Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and podcasting, but I find them to be, I'm very consistent with them, but they are not my top priorities. My top priorities have always been YouTube and the blog because I'm building something more long-term, something that sticks around that people can find. And I'm still getting paid on things I made years ago, which is why I like those platforms so much.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the blog and or YouTube, Would you say that you were able to build your audience there and to get the visibility that you have there just by creating good quality content? Was that like your main growth strategy? Or did you invest very much effort into SEO or other growth tactics on those platforms?
So as far as YouTube, I would say it has just been creating more high quality content and growing in those skills and then presenting that in a way with, you know, the right thumbnails, the right titles that will capture my audience's attention. But with the blog, for sure, it's been learning a lot of search engine optimization and keywords and all of that fun stuff that, you know, in the beginning, you think you're just going to write about your passions and you get to an extent, but there's definitely some strategy behind that when it comes to the blog.
How did you learn those SEO tactics? Did you take a course or you just learned by doing? What was the best resource that you've found for learning how to grow your blog?
So I did take a course, but I can't say I paid enough attention to it as I should. It was kind of like on the fly, like I should buy this course, but I don't think I really consumed it like I should. It definitely has been learning through. I'm in tons of blog groups. I have tons of blog friends. I hang around in that world. I see what works on mine. So again, like if you're more strategic upfront, you could get your blog to a more successful spot faster than I did. But I did just keep writing. And then as I've gone, I've learned things. Like I picked up things from a lot of professional bloggers just in the groups that I hang around in. So I think that's been my biggest key.
Do you have any specific groups that you really love?
Well, so I'm on an ad network called Mediavine. So in the blogging world, once you get to a certain number of page views, you can get onto an ad network that will tailor all of your ads and make that a more profitable endeavor. And so I'm in a couple of like my ad network specific groups. I'm in some food blogger groups on Facebook. I listen to like business podcasts all the time, like yours or Income School, or there's like video ones. So Blogging Millionaire, I love that one. So yeah, lots of groups and podcasts.
Thanks for sharing those resources. That's really helpful. So you mentioned that YouTube and blogging have been the most lucrative things for you and have grown your audience the most. How would you like compare or contrast them with other platforms that you really have put effort into? Like I know obviously that you have a podcast. It's called Simple Farmhouse Life. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
And so that seems like a pretty big thing that you do, but you still feel like blogging and YouTube have been more effective. Can you talk a little bit about why that is?
Well, probably the biggest reason is I've been doing them a lot longer. So the podcast has seen steady growth, but I started the YouTube channel a few years before the podcast. I started the blog a few years before I even started YouTube. So that's probably the main thing. I mean, I'm just now getting to a point where I'm going to maybe like have more ads and stuff on my podcast, but I think it's the passive income I like so much about YouTube and blogging, but I have just been doing it a lot longer. And I also started them whenever I didn't have a lot of other things going on. So I had more time to devote to figuring out how to grow it. Whereas the podcast, my contribution to that has really just been doing one interview a week. And then I have podcast managers who help me put it all together. And so I really haven't like taken podcasting courses or done all the things you would do if podcasting was like your only thing, right?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that as well. I started with blogging and YouTube. And when I started with them, I had fewer things I was doing, both like in my personal life and with my business. And also I was like more hungry for it, you know, like
yes.
I needed that big break, right? So I went all in on it. And also I've been doing those things for longer. So like the podcast, I love it. And I think that we get to have really cool, intimate conversations, both like with the guests and also with the listeners. And so I love it and I want to keep doing it, but it doesn't match the huge growth that we see on YouTube just because of, like you're saying, like that long-term commitment to it and like the big start that it got. So yeah, I can definitely understand that. So I was aware of your brand before we had our last conversation, but I didn't really start following it until we did that interview several months ago. And so I started following your brand and I was like really impressed by your content. I was watching your videos and then you had your 8th baby. And I was so impressed then because just like with how you just were so consistent and how you just kept churning out the content. And I was also like kind of confused, like, how is she having time for this? How is she getting this content still out there? I have so many questions about like what you were doing versus what your team was doing. So I'd love to dive deep into that. Let's start by talking about your team. Who helps you with your content creation?
Okay, so I have blog writers. I have an Instagram, somebody who takes my videos and chops them up and makes them vertical for Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts. I have people that help with comments over on all the places, actually, because, you know, Facebook, there's DMs, there's Instagram, there's all the places. I have podcast manager. So that's really helpful because they set up the guests, like you went through this process. They reach out to the guests. They put together an outline by like putting a question box up on Instagram and making sure that, you know, we ask the questions the audience wants to know. I have help with my emails. So I have somebody who manages all my emails, all my funnels. She's absolutely amazing. And then I also have someone who helps me put together like courses. So recently, I launched this whole sourdough course and she gave me a few assignments on like new videos that we needed. But for the most part, she put together the whole outline. Like she pulled all the recipes from the blog and all the different places, put them in a book, came up with just basically did the whole thing except for said, hey, I need this video from you. I'll get it edited. I'll, you know, do all everything with the sales page. So that's really, really helpful. Man, I need a list of my team, but quite a lot of hands in this.
I think that's really helpful for people to hear though, because especially with a brand like yours, where it's very personal, like everything that is shared has originated from you, right? And I really see like your fingerprint on everything you create. And so I think it's easy for people, especially, you know, since I have a brand that is somewhat similar, I have a sense of what goes on behind the scenes. But for someone who doesn't have that, I think it'd be really easy for them to just assume that you were doing practically everything.
Yeah.
Because like, it's your face, right? And so I think it's so helpful to people to understand that you're not doing it all on your own. Now, of course, there was a time when you didn't have that, right? I know I had a time when I didn't have that at all. And I was doing everything myself. And it was interesting because I think from the outside, it almost looked not quite the same, but it almost looked like I was doing just as much. You know, I was still creating videos. I was creating podcasts. I was writing blog posts. I was posting on social media. And so it might have looked like I was doing just as much. But behind the scenes, it was nothing like that. Behind the scenes, I really only had time for those outward-facing things. And so I wasn't able to run my business and my business wasn't nearly as profitable. Once I had the help with everything, including those outward-facing things, then I was able to step back and focus on those more executive-type things, creating products, selling the products, and those types of things. Has that been your experience?
Yes, totally. So a few things come to mind. Like, for example, it looks the same all from the outside, but like since the beginning, I have set up a lot of things that just run on autopilot, like different funnels for courses and things that unless you like go and sign up for different offers on my website, or, you know, you're not going to know that those things are going on. Like if you just look at the Facebook page, the Instagram page, the blog, the YouTube channel, it all looks about the same, but there's a lot going on underneath there that unless you sign up for something, you're not going to see all of that. So it makes my business more profitable, but yet I'm still working it. But like you said, there's some different things that I'm working on that are not the things that are right up front that actually make it a lot more profitable.
So talk me through on a monthly basis to create all the content that you create, which tell me if I'm missing something, but it seems to me like you've got two YouTube channels that you make long form videos on, and then you also make YouTube Shorts and you've got your podcast. Is there any other content you create also?
So the blog is one of the main things too. So the way that it works is I have kind of what I'm responsible for to keep all of the balls rolling. And that would be I create a YouTube video. Okay. So every single week, it's my responsibility to come up with maybe like 3 or 4 recipes I want to show or some kind of home or organizing project and put that into a 20 to 25 minute YouTube video. I actually do that start to finish by myself. I've had editors over the years. It's never worked out. I just cannot execute my vision. It takes me more time to explain it to somebody than it does for me just to do it. And I know that that's probably like the most time. It is the most time I'm spending in my business for sure right now is creating the YouTube video. But from that, what happens is my Facebook person downloads the video from my YouTube's dashboard. She uploads it to Facebook. She pulls my Instagram girl, pulls sections out of the video and cuts them up and vertically and makes them TikToks, Instagram stories, YouTube shorts. And then my blog post writer, she's been with me for years. She's more than just a blog post writer to me at this point. She will take things that I did in there, like say I did like a whole grain sourdough loaf that I haven't done before. She'll go into some of the keyword finding websites and the SEO websites, pull out some of the things I did and say, hey, we need a blog post on this, 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 and this. That'll like jog her brain for that. And then we get those into slots. And she's kind of like a blog manager now onto our Trello board. And then the blog writers will take it from there. And then I just need to at some point also photograph those. And then my other responsibility is once a week, I sit down for a podcast interview, which my podcast manager helps me with. So it kind of starts with the YouTube, like whatever I'm coming up with, and then it snowballs out from there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Thanks for breaking that all down. Sounds like you've got a really incredible team that is able to think on their own to some extent and is really willing to take the lead on each of those different pieces of content. So that's really cool. And I'm sure that that's a big help to you. Talk to me a little bit more about your YouTube videos. So you fully edit them yourself. You don't have a video editor.
No, I just cannot. And I know that there are people out there that are skilled enough to do it. It's not that, like for sure there are. It's just that I never can communicate my vision. So back in the day, before I do the kind of videos I do now, I used to do a tutorial type of video. Like today, I'm going to show you how to make XYZ. Very straightforward. No need to communicate the vision, right? It's just the best way possible, show how to make that. Okay, that's the point. Now I'm kind of like, sometimes they're pretty straightforward. Like, you know, this is what our family is eating this week. But sometimes I'm like trying to be artsy and like, have this shot going from this way while there's still audio going on in the house. And like, it's just, I have it in my brain, but then I never can get it to them without it taking too much time, if that makes sense.
Well, it totally makes sense to me. I have the same challenge. And I think that because of just the way my business is structured, I don't have time in my like work week to edit my own videos. And so a lot of the time I default to making a simpler video than I might make otherwise because of that very thing. And I think I've worked out my systems pretty well to be able to find ways to communicate with the editors. And the editor I'm working with right now, she's local and I've been working with her for quite a while. So we're able to understand each other pretty well. But it definitely is a challenge. I totally feel you on that one. How long would you say you typically spend on a video? I'm sure it varies quite a lot, but what would be like the average?
I would probably say 10 hours if I had to guess. So yeah, I spend most of my active time in my business on the videos for sure. But then everything, if I get that right, kind of snowballs from there. Like it informs my email writer on what's going on to send out in the email. It informs my Instagram, you know, on how to make like a good reel from it because there's all the shots I need for it. I've gotten my editing process down really like as fast as it possibly could be. But then like setting up the camera and making dinner, do I count that? I mean, my family did get dinner out of it. It's so merged that it's sometimes hard to tell you like, what was spent extra because of it. But yeah, it's time consuming.
Yeah, that kind of speaks to what my follow-up question was since you are filming your daily life much of the time, how do you separate that or do you try to separate it? Do you have specific time set aside each day or each week for filming? Or do you just try to film throughout like most weeks, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then put it together into a video?
So I was listening to your podcast and you were saying how you have to separate it and you have your office time. And I have tried that so much because it does sound a lot tidier to do it that way. And we've even thought like, okay, I'm only going to film during these certain times, but it ends up being more stressful for me to try to fit in like a separate recipe at a time than when I wouldn't be making it. So sometimes I'll do it, like you said, where I'll just collect clips throughout the week of just things here and there, like one recipe maybe that I make on Monday, like maybe it's breakfast, I'll film. And then maybe I'll organize something on Tuesday and I will decorate or paint something on Wednesday. I've done it that way. And that way is very gentle. It's very easy to fit in. But whenever I'm trying, like right now we have an upcoming trip, so I'm trying to get ahead. And in those situations, it's easier just to say, you know what, Monday, I'm just going to film everything I do all day long. I'm going to do like a day in the life of a homemaker. I'm going to show me doing laundry. And those days definitely are more intense, but I don't do them much. On average, I do them once a week because I do one video a week. And then I spend a bulk of the time planning the video. So planning out the kind of things I want to do. And then, of course, editing the video.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt myself for just a moment to tell you about another podcast that I have. So recently I recorded a 10-episode podcast, just a limited podcast series called The 100K Method. In this podcast series, I break down, well, exactly that, The 100K Method, which is my automated sales funnel strategy. So basically, this is the strategy that I use to generate passive income in my business to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. And I want to teach you how to implement this strategy in your business. So I went through, I recorded 10 episodes all about the 100K method, breaking down for you exactly how it works, every step of the process from the webinars that I use to the emails that I send, how to promote your business without using social media, but instead switch to more passive strategies so that you can fuel your 100K funnel with what I call ready to buy leads, and how you can implement this whole system into your business. Basically, I'm teaching you my whole system for free in this new limited podcast series. To get access to the 100K method and binge the whole thing, all you need to do is type in the 100K method into whatever podcast app you are listening to this podcast on, or you can just search for my name, Gillian Perkins, and it should pop up. I'm also going to include a link to the 100K method podcast series in the show notes for this episode so that you can easily find it there as well. I hope you really enjoy listening to this new podcast series from me. Make sure that you leave a review, let me know what you think, and share it with anyone else who you think could benefit from a 100K funnel in their business. Okay, now let's get back to today's episode. When you're creating your plan for your video, since you're going to edit yourself, how much detail do you put into that and how do you organize your plan?
So I have a note in my phone for usually 3 or 4 videos at a time. So like 3 or 4 that are coming up. And then whenever I think of an idea, I'll just put it in whichever one I think it makes the most sense for. And sometimes it's as detailed as writing out like a whole, all the things I'm going to talk about. And sometimes it's just a list of 5 or 6 things. And then I'll just come up with the voiceovers later. So it really depends. Whenever I do like a more, I'm trying to be almost like a written blog post in the form of a video, I'll write those out more, but those are few and far between because they take me a lot longer than just showing what I'm eating and then just talking about it and saying exactly what I'm doing in the video.
I think it's really interesting how you and I have, like in some ways, our businesses are really similar and like the amount of work that we do each week is really similar, but we have kind of taken these two different approaches on kind of the extreme ends of the scale where your business and life is like so fully integrated that you're just working like a little bit here, a little bit there sort of thing. And then for me, I'm like, no, I'm going to like completely separate myself for like a few hours a day. And then when I'm at home, I'm like not thinking about work, not working at all. And then when I'm working, I'm like fully working. Like I've done it your way too. And sometimes that has been really nice, but I think it's just like speaks to how important it is to find like what works for you and how there's not like one right way to do it, but you just kind of have to try some different things. I know sometimes when I've been like making a video that was more like a week in my life or something like that, I've done more like what you're doing and I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. But like personally, I just find that sometimes I need to like separate and focus more. I get distracted pretty easily.
Oh yeah. No, I understand. I have definitely felt that way too. What I've ended up doing is pushing off most of the tasks that require your full focus to a lot of my team. So I think that's kind of backwards of what a lot of people do. But like even book writing, I'm in a book contract and it'll be coming out later this fall. And it's a recipe book, which you wouldn't believe how much work it takes to make a manuscript for a recipe book. So I've ended up outsourcing most of that because I just can't find this dedicated, quiet time in my life to do that. I don't have any outside childcare. So I have to work kind of around nap times. And so right now it's easier just to like set the camera on the tripod and film me making dinner than it is to like find a quiet time to write out a blog post. And so I've hired out blog writers and things that where I'm like, I need to think, like even somebody answers my emails and just the ones that really need mine, she'll put in a separate folder. And so I try to like minimize all those things that take me like tons of concentration, even though it should probably be the opposite of that, but it works out for me.
Yeah. Again, like just finding what works for you, which often takes trying a lot of different things. So I just like hope that the listeners right now, and those of you who are listening to the podcast, you know, as you listen to each episode, that you never think that I'm telling you that like, it's my way or the highway, or like how I do it is the right way. I'm always sharing what works for me. And so I think it's really great to have Lisa here today sharing her perspective and what works for her. So you can see how drastically different things can work for different people in different seasons. And even if you have like a fairly similar business overall. One thing I'm curious about, Lisa, is with the blogs. So you mentioned that you've like outsourced a lot of the blogs. Do you still write blogs ever yourself, or are they all written by other people at this point?
So I never write blogs anymore, but I do test and photograph the recipes. But then anybody who's a blogger knows there's a lot more to a blog post than just the recipe and the photos. There's a whole like FAQ section and like troubleshooting. And then we update posts nonstop because I have hundreds of blog posts. And over time, we get feedback, we get questions, we learn new things. And so we'll update them. But yeah, actually like writing the blog post, I don't do anymore.
Do you like it that way? Do you ever feel disconnected, I guess? I've gone back to writing some of my blog posts, even though other people could write them. But I find that I kind of think better on paper. Like I'm a journaler at heart. And so by writing my blog posts, like that's where I get the ideas for a lot of like how I figure out what I want to say, I guess. Do you experience that at all? Or do you do better just talking to the camera?
I am so much better communicating through talking and video. I don't miss it one bit. One time whenever I only had one blog writer, I now have three. She was on maternity leave and I had to write a blog post. And I was like, I do not like this part of it. Like, I don't mind testing and getting the recipe down just right and like making it on video. And that's another thing is whenever I'm testing recipes, I'm always filming that. So I'm able to make a YouTube video out of that process. But no, I don't miss writing in the blog posts at all. I'm so glad I have writers now.
Again, different strokes for different folks, right?
Yes.
It certainly is easier to just talk to the camera. Like it takes me less time, but I just feel like there's oftentimes not nearly as much substance to what I'm saying if I don't plan it out in detail beforehand, even just like literally writing every word I'm going to say. Even if then I don't follow it word for word as a script, it's just like, I've thought these thoughts before, you know, like I need to think it out before I say it, I guess.
Yes, think it out like in more depth. Well, and your content is so much different than mine. So mine, whenever you're writing a blog post, you're literally taking like all the questions that people are asking and putting that into an FAQ section. You know, it's not necessarily super inspiring. And I'm not a huge analytics person. I don't look at analytics for anything ever. And so my blog writer, she loves going into Google Analytics and looking at what needs to be updated, what needs to be changed. I'm so glad she's into that because I'm just kind of like, I'll work double hard to not have to look at those things and change what I'm doing. So I'm really glad to have somebody on my team who's much better at that than me.
Yeah. And in thinking about this a little bit more, I'm actually starting to think maybe our processes aren't as different as I was thinking at first, because while my work is much more like thought work, and so I need to write it down on paper first before I say it, your work is more about things that you are doing, and you are doing it first and filming it, and then you're talking about it later on, right? When you're doing your voiceover?
Right, yes.
So we've both kind of pre-thought about it before we're actually talking about it.
Oh yeah, I hardly ever do anything where I'm just like sitting here talking. I mean, every once in a while I'll do a Q&A, but with the YouTube channel, for sure. Like I'm making something, trying something. And then later on, after I've got it all sorted out, then I'm going to tell you all about what went down with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I've just got one more question for you. And that is just about how you do like quality control on your content, basically. So you create that first YouTube video and you edit it. And then your people take that video and run with it, creating a blog post, creating your short videos and whatnot. Do you go through and review all of those things and go back to them with revision requests and that sort of thing? Or do you just like fully hand it over the responsibility to them and they just publish it without you even seeing it? What does that look like?
So yes, they do publish everything without me seeing it. I don't review the Instagram stories or reels or anything before they go up. I don't review the blog posts. I have in the past sort of dropped the ball on a few things for sure. And so I've tried to make, like, I moved one of my writers up into the position of blog manager. And so now I have a checklist. She needs to go through and make sure that it meets all of this before it gets published, because there's definitely been things where I haven't noticed until months later. And it's like, oh man, like, this was missing and now my reviews are bad. So definitely important to have some kind of system in place. But me personally, I am not reviewing. I have a lot of good quality help at this point, but I've not in the past, and I've definitely made mistakes with that. But yeah, I'm not reviewing at all.
Well, kudos to you for figuring out such a good system and, like, just putting together such an amazing team. I think one of your superpowers must be delegating, because that's actually what holds me back from, like, delegating more around content creation. While I do have someone who edits my videos for me, I always feel like I need to go back and review everything, because there's always revisions that are needed. Sometimes I'll have other people do the review work for me, but most of the time I feel like I have to do that. So good job on your part.
Well, once the video is done, which it's done how I like it because I edit it, the only thing that they can really pull from is what I've already, like, said is good. You know, like, she doesn't make a reel from something other than what I already have out in the world in some other form. Same with the Facebook person. She uploads videos that I've already said, you know, this is good. She uploads blog posts and pictures that are from the blog. So I've already approved those in some way. But yeah, I think the biggest thing I messed up with is not having, like, checklists and systems in place for reviewing, but we're getting there over time. But I'm totally in the take imperfect action and keep going type of camp. So it works out.
Does the woman who makes your short videos, does she take your fully edited videos and cut those up, or do you give her the raw footage to work with?
It's so hands off. She goes into my YouTube dashboard and just downloads them. So she is only working with, well, sometimes, okay, so one thing we changed lately, that's how we used to do it. Now I save a separate copy. So I take my video, I do my music, my voiceover, the whole thing, YouTube, and then I go into Final Cut Pro and I delete out all of the music and the voiceover and just add the original audio that was going on and give that to her, because we found that on Instagram and TikTok for the short videos, they want to hear what's actually happening in the house. And it's so cut up that it's okay if it's like on YouTube, you don't want to hear the whole time I'm doing something, maybe like loud kids or a baby crying or whatever is happening. But whenever it's really split on a tiny little short video, that actually does a lot better. So we have changed that a bit to where I don't give her the final video. I give her the edited video, but with original audio.
Because there's still normally a voiceover with the short video. So does she take the voiceover you did for the long video and chop that up also? Or do you record a separate voiceover for the short videos?
If there's a voiceover, it's from the original video, because I never give her any separate content, like any separate voiceovers or anything.
Yeah, that's cool. That makes sense. Well, shout out to your team. They're doing incredible work.
I agree.
they're spreading you everywhere, which is amazing. Yeah. Like I said, just like after your most recent baby was born, I was just like, wow, new short videos like every other day or so, you know, like, how is this happening? Is she, and I like,
yeah, that's all her.
And no judgment either if you were doing it, because I know sometimes after I've had a baby, I'm just like laying in bed twiddling my thumbs, and I'm like,
yes.
And sometimes I've just ended up working that first week, especially, or the first few weeks when the baby's sleeping so much, because it's actually like in month two or three when the baby wakes up, that's when it's hard.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I know everybody's like, how are you doing this now? But then they expect you to do everything once the baby's like 6 months. And I'm like, now I'm sleep deprived. That was easy.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel the same. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for everything you shared with us today. This was super helpful. And I'm sure that the listeners are going to love this and to love hearing your, like, raw and real insights about how you run your brand and create all this content. Before I let you go, can you share with the listeners just how and where they can find you, and maybe talk a little bit about what you would talk about in your content and what kind of content you create?
Yes. So the probably most active place to find me would be my YouTube channel. So that's youtube.com/farmhouseonboone. I'm also Farmhouse on Boone over on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. And then I have my blog, farmhouseonboone.com. I am kind of known right now for sourdough. That's the thing of the moment. So if you are looking for any sourdough recipes of any kind, you'll find them there. But then over on my channel, just homemaking content. So I'm sharing encouragement for people who are trying to figure out how to, you know, get all the things done, make healthy recipes from scratch, all from a large family perspective, but people of all family sizes watch the channel. And then my podcast, Simple Farmhouse Life.
Well, again, thank you so much, Lisa. This has been incredible.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Work Less, Earn More. Now, if you want even more where this came from, then I want to tell you about my brand new podcast series called The 100K Method. So this is just a 10-episode limited podcast series where I break down the entire 100K Method, which is my automated sales funnel strategy that I use for all of the automated sales systems in my business and the sales system that I teach to all my top-level clients. So all you need to do to listen to this series and to learn all about the 100K method, how it works, and how to install it in your business so you can start earning passive income each and every month is search for the 100K method in your favorite podcast app, probably the one you have open right now. Again, just search for the 100K method. Or alternatively, just search for my name, Gillian Perkins, in your podcast app, and it should pop up that way too. I'm also going to include a link to it in the show notes for this episode so you can find it easily that way as well. Like I said, the 100K Method is just a 10-episode podcast, so you can easily listen to the entire thing. You'll know exactly which episode to start with, episode one, and you can binge listen all the way through to learn everything you need to know about how the 100K Method works and how it can enable you to earn a whole lot more passive income in your business. I hope you really enjoy it, and if you do, be sure to leave it a review to help more people find it. All right, well, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back again next week with another one. Until then, stay focused and keep taking action.